Okay, you might, if you were here last week, you might have heard that Bible passage being read and gone, what's going on? That's the same reading as last week. Pastor's recycling his sermons again, isn't he? No, what we're doing is we've divided it into two sections. And like a mountain range, where some of those mountains are up close, some of what was said by Jesus at that time was about things that were going to happen within one generation. And last week we looked at that. We looked at the way that in the year 70 AD, everything that Jesus said came true. And those who survived were the ones who heard him, listened to him, and obeyed him. And like that mountain range, some of them are off in the distance. And so this morning what we're going to be doing is looking at what Jesus said about the things that concern things further on in time. Okay? Same passage, but we're shifting the focus. It's almost like the camera lens is being shifted from a close focus to a long distance. And there were two questions that the disciples asked Jesus in that passage. When he said to them, that temple that you're looking at is not going to have one brick standing on top of another, they're going, what the heck? When's that going to happen? And the only way it can happen, because we're talking about the temple, is if that's the end of the time. And so there are two questions they bundled together. And that's why Jesus' answer contains answers to each question. Last week we looked at the when will this happen. This week we're looking at their second question, what will be the sign of your return? Now the reason why both questions work seamlessly in Jesus' answer is because they are about similar things. Do you remember what it was that we said last week? They are both about a coming day of judgment. And so, yes, they do both belong together, even though they're separated by time. The first form of judgment was the destruction of the temple, and we looked at that last week. That took place in 70 AD. And a lot of what Jesus talked about with it being a horrific event, unseen in history and never to be seen again, it was like that. If you read the descriptions of what took place, it was horrendous. But now on to Jesus' answer. He said to them, in preparing for that day, he said, don't be deceived. Don't be alarmed and don't give up. Is it coming back to you from last week? Don't be deceived when people come telling you stories about here's the Messiah. You've got the Messiah standing in front of you and I'm telling you it's going to be like this. Don't be alarmed at all of the things that happen around you. When you hear of wars, when you hear of rumors of wars, when you see the earthquakes and you hear of them, when you see the famines taking place in Jerusalem, and they did, don't be alarmed. And he said, don't give up. Don't give up doing what I've given you to do just because of all of this stuff that's going on around you. Don't give up trusting me. Don't give up following me. I will save you. In other words, those who heard him, who heeded what he said, and who then obeyed, when they saw the Roman soldiers circling around Jerusalem and they remembered what happened 150 years ago that Daniel had foretold when another emperor tried to do exactly the same thing in the temple, they go, we've seen this before, let's run, because that's what Jesus said to do. They obeyed and they were saved. That was Jesus' answer to their first question. So on to the second question. What will be the sign of your return? There's a lot of stuff that's been said over the years about the events of the last days, hasn't there? There are all kinds of stories, there are all kinds of theories, there are all kinds of constructs around how things are going to play out. And it's easy for us, when we look at the news today, to cross-reference it with Scripture and to become fearful. because our mind starts to go to the worst case scenario. Is this going to be like what's in Scripture? Is this going to be Revelation? Is this it? And our minds become fearful. But I want you to notice that in verse 25, Jesus said something that he reveals his intention in his answer. His intention in telling us these things was to give us confidence in him. He said, "See, I'm telling you ahead of time." What does that reveal to us? That he knows, that he's in control, that he's sovereign over things. And they weren't able to defeat him at the cross, and they won't be able to defeat him on the last day. See, I've told you ahead of time. You will experience turmoil in waves that repeat throughout history over and over again, like birth pains. And it is leading up to a huge event. But we'll get to that in a minute. Those birth pains, we can look back over history now. Enough history has played out since Jesus spoke these words for us to be able to see what has happened in history. He said that there will be false messiahs in verse 5. He said that there will be wars and rumors of wars in verse 6. He said that there will be famines and earthquakes in verse 7. He said that persecution and suffering is going to increase more and more as time goes on. He said that there will be an apostasy, a mass turning away, a growing cold in the hearts of people who have heard the gospel. They will walk away because they have become sick of waiting. And he said that there will be increased wickedness in verse 12. Has any of that not happened? We can look back at different periods in history and see where all of those things have come together as a wave, like a birth pain, and it subsided. And then it's built up again, and it subsided. Because his point in verse 6 was that these things are not a sign of the end. The false messiahs, the wars, the famines and earthquakes, he said, they're not the end. And then in verse 14, he said the persecution and suffering, the turning away, the increased wickedness, they happen before the end. You see, there have been many voices who speculate and make claims about the end times, that this is it. How many times have we seen people stand up like prophets to declare that the end has come? And so often, someone's claimed to be a Messiah, or to have special words from God about a date when everything would stop and God would come to a special place that only they knew about. And what's been the result of those things? Those who were tricked into believing gathered where and when they were told to, and the results have not been good. Even just in our modern history. In 1978, a cult led by Jim Jones did lots of faith healings and social works to produce signs and wonders about things going on. The end result was that 900 people, including children, died by cyanide poisoning based on what he taught them and told them to do. In 1997, a leader, Marshall Applewhite, worked with Bonnie Nettles and identified themselves as the two witnesses that are spoken about in Revelation. And they got following of hundreds of people. And based on their instruction, 39 people suicided in a mass suicide in an attempt to ascend to a higher plane spiritually. Even just as recent as 2023, Pastor Paul McKenzie led a group of hundreds of people into fasting, saying fasting is going to lead to your salvation. hundreds of people died of starvation in that cult. Wars have come and gone. Think about Nazi Germany. Think about what it must have been like for people living through that. They must have thought the end was coming. Surely it cannot get any worse than what we were living through in Nazi Germany. Think about what everyone was saying with the Twin Towers, with 9/11 happened. This is the end. This is the final war. War's been declared, and it's all going to happen and happen fast from here. Think about the destruction that's going on in Gaza and Ukraine. Think about the people who are living through that. You see, for them, it must feel like it's the end of the world. There have been many, many people in history who have made claims. There have been many wars. There have been many earthquakes. There have been many famines all around the world. And yet here we are. You see, what Jesus told his disciples about the wars and the false messiahs in a coming time and time again, like birth pains throughout history, that has really been our experience. We've gone far enough through history now to know that the facts support the prophecies that Jesus made. He knew what he was saying. But what did Jesus say about all these things? Why did he want people to know that there was going to be wave after wave of these things happening? He said, don't be deceived. These things are not part of the end of the world. They're part of living in a fallen world. Understand what is going on around you through the eyes of eternity, through the eyes that Jesus looked at them with. Jesus knew that there was a far greater war taking place that we forget all about, a spiritual war in which Satan rages against God's kingdom. And he keeps thrashing about to cause pain and hurt and destruction time and time again. He keeps launching battle after battle, wave after wave, plotting and scheming, and in between each one to try and find a way to somehow win this war, because he refuses to accept the huge defeat that he suffered at the cross. You see, at that moment, Satan thought he had won. He thought he had killed the Son of God. He thought that was it, and that was his defeat. He had played right into God's hands. He thought that surely killing Jesus, the Son of God, I win. And yet that was the moment that he lost the war. Because that was what God had in plan all the way along. Jesus allowed himself to be killed on the cross. And what looked like a tragic defeat was really a demonstration of supreme authority and love. And so none of what's happened since can do a thing about that. Nothing Satan does, no war, no famine, no political oppression, and none of the fake messiahs can undo what Jesus did for you on the cross. And so to prepare us for life in a world like that, Jesus told us ahead of time what life would be like, that it would include all of these things. So that you can have confidence in him. Don't be deceived. Don't be alarmed. And don't give up. Nothing Satan threw at Jesus made him panic. Nothing caught him unprepared. Nothing threatened to stop him from doing what he came to do. He came to do what was needed to save you. See, I've told you ahead of time, he said. And so if these things are not a sign that the end has come, they must be proof that God is in control. Because he told you ahead of time what would come. And so we need to be like Peter. And Peter did something extraordinary. He did something that he never expected to be able to do. He got out of a boat and walked on water despite all the waves around him. And it was only when he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the waves that were around him that he started to go under. And so Jesus didn't get fazed. He just reached down and took Peter by the hand and pulled him back up to where he could breathe. Friends, when things around us are blowing up, and when there are wars and rumors of wars, and when people are shouting at us what we have to think, when it feels like we're surrounded by cold hearts and nobody cares, we need to remind ourselves that we knew this was coming. Jesus told us ahead of time. And now is not the time to get distracted. It's not the time to become alarmed. And it's definitely, definitely not the time to give up. Now is the perfect time to trust Jesus. Time to trust what Jesus said. Time to trust what Jesus did. And time to pick up your foot and move it forward and walk towards him. And then pick up the next foot and put it down and do it again until you just keep walking towards Jesus. So if that's what we're meant to do in the midst of all of that turmoil, what really was the answer to this second question? Remember what it was? What's going to be the sign of your coming? What are we going to see to warn us that you're coming back? How will we know? How will we know that you're coming next week? Or that we got 10 minutes, grab everything. How are we going to know? You know what he said? You'll see me. You'll see me when you see me. I will get there and you will see me. In verse 29, he said, immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. In other words, everything's going to stop. You're going to notice. You're going to notice some stuff is going on. You won't miss it. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he'll send his angels out with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they'll gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the furthest ends of earth and heaven. Ain't no one is going to miss this. And so what Jesus actually said was, you won't miss me coming. You won't miss out. Everyone is going to see it. Everyone will know that they either lived wisely or they made the biggest mistakes of their lives. He said, you don't need to know when I'm coming. You've got enough to do as it is. So don't worry about trying to work out what day I'm coming. Worry about what I've told you to do. And let's face it, if we knew what day Jesus was coming, that would make us more knowledgeable than Jesus. Because in verse 36, he said, "However, no one knows the day or hour when things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows." Now, that's something that I've always struggled to get my head around, because aren't the Son and the Father one in the same? If one knows, shouldn't both know? I reckon he was actually saying something else there. And there's a whole nother sermon there that we're not going to go into. But what he's saying is, you don't need to know. You're not going to know. I'm not going to tell you. Just be ready. Because he went on to talk about what really matters. In the very next chapter, he talks about the ten bridesmaid virgins that we saw acted out for us. And what was it they were meant to focus on? Be ready. Don't fall asleep. Have everything together, ready to go. And then the very next parable that he tells after that was about a master who gave bags of gold to his servants, and the ones that were scared and held on to that bag of gold and did nothing with it, he came back and he was so displeased with them. The ones who had invested what he had given and brought a profit, a return, who had brought fruit on his investment, they were the ones who were given praise. And there's a possibility that if we focus on the wrong things, we take our mind off the task that we've been given, and we become negligent and lazy. And when he returns, he's going to go, "Well, where's the fruit? I gave you a gospel. What did you do with it?" The third parable that he tells is about goats and sheep being separated out. And he's talking about within the same flock. This is the church. There are people in the church, he said, who are goats. They're not sheep. And so I need to separate them out. They're not like the sheep. They might make similar noises. They might eat the same kinds of things. But they're not sheep. They're goats. And he says, there are going to be people who come to him on that last day, and they're going to say to him, "But look at what I did. Look at all the things I did." And he's going to turn to them and say, "Yeah, but I never knew you. And you never knew me. We didn't have relationship. You might have been busy doing things, but we didn't have relationship. You never spent time with me." And he's going to say, "Go. You're not one of mine. I've come for the ones I love and who love me." He can spot a fake a mile off. You see, we need to be real disciples. Disciples who spend time with their teacher in the Word, talking to him through prayer, being present with his body, working in his kingdom to bring profit and fruit. We need to not be the ones that fall asleep. That's what we're meant to focus on. That's what matters to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have everything that we need. You have told us ahead of time through your Son. You have shown us your kingdom through your Son. And you have made a way possible for us to be in your kingdom through your Son. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us, please, to listen to him and to obey him. In Jesus' name, amen.